It's true, it is different now. I would argue now it's much more urgent that we deal with the underlying fiscal problem. Now, unlike in past years, we're spending $3.6 trillion. We've run up a string of unprecedented deficits. The modest improvement you alluded to, you know that's temporary, and it's scheduled, if there's no structural changes, for those deficits to get much worse, not terribly far from today. We now have a total debt that's over 100% of our total economic output, I believe already limiting economic growth and prosperity. We have trillions of dollars of guarantees that we didn't used to have. We have tens of trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities. We have large entitlement programs, the largest of which are all growing faster than our economy and therefore are on a completely unsustainable path. So what's different, it seems to me, is our situation is much more dire now than it was in previous discussions. Nevertheless, the president is saying, you give me everything I want, and then we could have a conversation about these things that are important to you. I still find that shocking. But here's the bottom line, it seems to me. If the president refuses to agree to include even a modest reform that begins to take us in the direction of a more sustainable path in the context of a debt ceiling increase, there appears to be a real chance that this Congress will not pass a debt ceiling increase before October 17th. Now, I hope that we do pass a debt ceiling increase with appropriate reforms, because there's no question in my mind, at some point, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, it will become disruptive. As you know, ongoing tax revenue is only about 85% of all the money this government intends to spend in the coming fiscal year. So if we only get 85% of everything we intend to spend in tax revenue, the 15% shortfall would have to be covered by borrowings, or else we wouldn't be able to pay everything in full and on time. And that would be disruptive. But the greatest disruption by far would occur if you were to choose to not pay interest on our debt. Senator Cantwell made a very compelling argument about the unique role that U.S. Treasury securities play in the world and for the United States. So my question for you, Mr. Secretary, as the Secretary of the Treasury, are you prepared to assure us, but more importantly, the millions of Americans who are investors in U.S. Treasury securities and the entire American economy, that under no circumstances will you permit a missed payment on a U.S. Treasury security obligation?
Senator, the only way to make sure we can pay all of our obligations is for Congress to act and raise the debt limit. No president has ever had to decide whether to pay some bills and not others.
I understand. That's a different
question,
though.
The law is complicated, and I am not the one who makes that decision, as you know. It's actually not my decision. It is something that the president would have to decide. And I'm telling you that it would be put us into default if we went to a place where we could pay one bill and not others. What would you say to people on Social Security?
I've acknowledged that it is very disruptive, and that is not where I hope to go. But I only control one vote in the Senate, and the administration controls zero. And they control zero votes in the House. And so it would seem to me the only appropriate thing to do is plan for contingencies. So are you telling me that the president would decide to ensure that we would not miss a payment on Treasury securities?
Senator, what I'm telling you is there's no good solution if Congress fails to raise the debt limit. And that's why the president has called on Congress to raise the debt limit. You know, you use the number 80-85% coverage in terms of revenue. That's an annual average.
I understand.
Some months it's 50%.
That's right.
The amount that we fall behind in payments is just unthinkable. Congress has to do its job and act.
And I certainly hope that the president will work with us so that we can avoid this. But I'm frankly shocked that the Secretary of the Treasury will not assure the financial markets, American investors and savers, and the millions of people who hold treasuries that they don't have to worry about the security of their treasuries. I'm extremely disappointed.
I would refer you back to statements by President Reagan and Secretary Jim Baker, who made the same warnings that I'm making, because only Congress can act to raise the debt limit. No president has ever been put in the position of having to figure out what bad options.
I understand. I'm almost out of time.
Congress doesn't act.
On Tuesday, the president said, and I quote, "We plan for every contingency." So obviously, you know, worst case scenario, there are things we will try to do, end quote. Could you tell us about these contingencies?
Well, you know, Senator, the options are all bad.
I agree.
I tried to earlier describe how complicated the federal payment system is. There is no way to make our federal payment system work well to pick and choose what we pay. So we're going to be in a place which is uncharted territory, and anyone who thinks it works smoothly, it would not work smoothly. It would be chaos.
The question is whether the Treasury is prepared to try to minimize the disruption.
Obviously, we have looked at many options. There has been reports indicating things that have been looked at over the years. Nobody has ever had to put any of these into effect. They're not tested.
Okay,
we've never stopped.
Time has expired. I might say.